Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is your brother Mikhail Ahmed Smith here, letting you know that today's podcast was sponsored by Helping Hand for Relief and Development. Helping Hand is a leading Muslim nonprofit organization that has a top star rating by Charity Navigator. Over the years, I've had the privilege of working with them, and they've helped people from over 80 different countries around the world. They've worked for disaster relief and emergency relief in Palestine, Myanmar, and many other countries, Kenya, Somalia, Kashmir, Pakistan, and Haiti. To learn more and to be involved in helping the lives of other people, visit their website at hhrd.org.
Welcome, alhamdulillah, everybody. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome to night number 25. May Allah ta'ala bless everybody. Inshallah, for sticking with us, and we hope, inshallah, and pray that you guys are benefiting from these sessions. I know that it's late, and I know that, you know, for people who have work tomorrow, it's Monday morning tomorrow. For those of you who don't know what day it is tomorrow because of coronavirus, tomorrow's Monday. But it's also a 25th night, and so we hope and pray, inshallah, that whatever small reminder we can provide, that there's some sort of some sort of inspiration, barakah, and blessing in that for you. Tonight, Sheikh Abdul Nasser is going to be giving us the story of Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub was a prophet that was afflicted with trials in his life, ailments. And subhanAllah, again, I think, you know, when we're hit with a difficulty, it sometimes challenges our faith, right? We all get tested. Like we become people who recoil from the difficulties. So what can we learn about the prophet in the Quran whose lesson is probably most associated with being hit with trials? Like, what can we take from that lesson, inshallah? So Shaykh, I hope you're with us. Are you with us? You're good?
Yes.
Shaykh, can you hear us? Okay. All right. So Sheikh Al-Nasr is going to go through that story for us, inshallah. And I'll conclude, I'll wrap up the night and close for us, inshallah. Bismillah, Sheikh.
All right. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. The Prophet Ayyub, alayhi salam, is one of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is named and spoken about within the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about him. And it's actually mentioned that he was from the succession of prophets that came amongst Bani Israel, the lineage of prophets from the prophet Ishaq and then Ya'qub alayhim as-salam. And it's said about the prophet Ayyub alayhi salam that he was someone who was very blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was a very, of course, being a prophet of God, he was a very righteous man. He was a very handsome, a very charismatic individual. He had a very, he belonged to a very respectable tribe and family. He himself had a very large extended family, many children and, family, extended family members. And he was also very blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of wealth. He was very well-to-do. He took care of all of his extended family members. He fed, the poor and the folks that were in need of financial assistance throughout his entire area. And so all around was a very, very blessed individual from all aspects. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thing about prophets is that they're role models. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, uses them to teach us lessons and uses them as examples of how to handle different situations. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he utilized the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam for was to illustrate and demonstrate how we handle difficulty and adversity. And it specifically said about him that he was someone who was very, very patient. So what the narrations tell us, and the books of Tafsir have many different narrations about this, that he was afflicted where there was a terrible tragedy, you know, maybe some narrations mentioned that it was like a natural disaster. Some narrations mentioned that his entire family, extended family, was inside of like one home. Maybe there was a get together or some kind of feast or festivity, and the building ended up collapsing upon everyone. And basically what it mentions is that most of his family perished and died in a very tragic accident. Imam al-Razi mentions a little bit something different, but I'll get to that in just a moment. The second thing that happened with the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam was that he was afflicted with a disease. He was afflicted with an illness. And the effect of this disease and illness was that it caused like some kind of infection in his body, and particularly his skin, where basically his skin, his flesh was rotting away.
It was almost like leprosy, kind of.
Yeah, almost like a leprosy, exactly. And to the point where the narrations even mentioned that there would be bugs and things like that that would be attracted to his body to eat away at the dead flesh. And it basically afflicted him from head to toe. And so while the typical narrative is that his family died in a tragic accident and then he was afflicted with this disease on top of that, Imam al-Razi also mentions that it wasn't necessarily that his family died, but he was afflicted with this terrible disease and his family had to get away from him for the purposes of, you know, avoiding the contagion and the illness. And there are different narrations, but it's mentioned in the books of tafsir from Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ibn Abi Hatim mentions from Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu that he spent 10 years in this particular state and condition. One narration even mentions that he spent 13 years. One other narration mentions that he spent 18 years in this particular condition where he was afflicted with this illness. And he never uttered a word of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never expressed, "Why me, oh God, why would you do this to me?" You know, kind of like the classical expression, "Woe is me." He never lamented his situation. He never complained and cried and moaned and complained about his predicament, but always remained grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said nothing but praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it mentions that after 10, 13, or 18 years, however long that it was, at the end of that, he finally, when he started feeling very weighed down by what he had experienced and what he had endured, that he finally turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm going to pull up the verse number here for everyone. And I will mention it for the folks that are on Instagram.
Yeah, what verses? I'll type it in.
Surah number 21, verses 83 and 84.
Is that Surah Anbiya? Which surah is that?
Surah Al-Anbiya, yes. Okay. All right, so I'm going to share that here.
2183 and 84. 83, 84, okay. Bismillah. All right, so it's there for everybody on the Instagram feed and should be, yeah, it's on screen now if you're on Facebook or YouTube.
Very good. So finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that after enduring patiently, never speaking a word of ingratitude to his Lord, he finally, after feeling just very weighed down by this, and there's another dua in the Quran where he also basically says that shaitan has been chipping away at me for 10 years, for a decade, trying to get me to be ungrateful to Allah and to complain about what God did to me and to cry and scream and complain and speak things that are not appropriate about Allah. And he finally says that it's just, he's been chipping away at me for a decade and I'm starting to feel worn out. I'm starting to feel a little worn down after 10 years. He then finally says that, as we see the dua, wa ayyuba. And Allah says, remember the story of the great prophet Ayyub. When he called out to his Lord, he finally called out to Allah and he said, "Anni masani ad-dur. My Lord, I have suffered a great deal." My Lord, I have suffered a great deal. Wa anta arham ar-rahimin. And you are the most merciful of all those capable of showing any mercy. You are the most merciful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, immediately in that moment, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ. We answered his prayer. We answered his dua. فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ ذُرْ. And we removed from him the difficulty that he had experienced. وَآتَيْنَاهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ عِنْدِنَا وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَبِدِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we cured him. The other place in the Quran in Surah Sa'd says that Allah told him, Urkud birijilik. He had become so physically worn out and worn down that in 10 years, he had started off being this very strong, healthy, looking much younger than he was. Like that's the thing about the prophets of God. The Prophet ﷺ at the age of 60 looked younger than companions who were half his age, right? So they're remarkable people. So he went from there, and in 10 years, he looked like he was like 100 years old, just completely worn out. And it said that he had reached a point where he couldn't even move anymore. He was just sitting there, kind of like reclined back, just lying there with his skin rotting away and bugs eating away his dead flesh. And he was just lying there, and he said, "Ani masaniyatur. Oh Allah, I'm worn out. I've experienced great difficulty. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. You are the most merciful of all those capable of showing mercy." And Allah tells him, "Urkud birajlik." Allah says that strike your foot, because he couldn't even move. So he couldn't even move from where he was. And Allah says, just kind of tap your heel on the ground. Like if he's leaning down, leaning back like this, just kind of move your foot a little and just kind of tap your heel lightly on the ground. And he just taps his heel on the ground, and a spring shoots out from there. Water starts coming out of the ground. And it's this beautiful, cool water. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هَذَا مُخْتَسَلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ. And as the water starts to fill up where he's sitting, and as the water starts touching his skin, it starts miraculously healing him. And his strength starts to come back to him until the water comes all the way up to his chest. And his arms are in the water, submerged in the water, and he's healed and he's regaining his strength. And then he reaches down to the water and he takes it and he pours it on his head and his face, and it starts to miraculously heal him and cure him. And then Allah said, washarab. And then he scoops up some of that water in his hands and he drinks that water. And it immediately cures him of everything that he had suffered. And at that point, Allah says, wa'atinahu ahlahu. And his family rejoined him. So remember I said that a lot of the commentators said that his family had died in a tragic accident. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala literally resurrected his entire family.
Allahu Akbar.
And Imam al-Razi, who says that his family had to leave him because of the illness, he advised them to leave him so that they would not be affected, that his whole family returned back to him. And Allah says, وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ. And Allah doubled his family. Allah doubled his family, because the family had been away for 10 years, 15 years, 18 years. So now when they came back, his kids had kids.
Grandkids.
He had grandkids, grandbabies. The family had grown. MashaAllah, the family had grown. And at that time, he's reunited with his entire family. And Allah says, Rahmatan min indina. This was a special mercy from us for Ayyub. وَذِكْرَى لِلْعَبِدِينَ. And Allah says, we also made this whole 18-year long ordeal occur and transpire so that this could be a reminder for the servants of God. That Allah is always with you. Allah has a plan for you. And you never know that your difficulty. Remain patient in it. Keep your faith and trust in Allah. And when you start to feel kind of worn down and broken down, then what you do is you just spread your hands out in front of Allah. You can't even lift your hands. You're in such a state of weakness. You just speak out to Allah. Oh Allah, I need your help, Ya Allah. I need your mercy, Oh Allah. Shower me with your mercy, Oh Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always come to your aid and rescue. And you never know that you're suffering might end up being a source of such profound goodness where it will inspire generations upon generations upon generations, where only Allah knows how many millennia it's been, how many generations have passed, and the story of Ayyub is immortalized in the word, in the speech of Allah, in the book of Allah, in the Quran, and we sitting here today, only Allah knows how much after the Prophet Ayyub are drawing inspiration from his story. And it reminds us of the faith that we need to have in the mercy of Allah and how patience is a virtue. Patience and strength is a virtue, and it strengthens our connections to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the story of the Prophet Ayyub and the dua of the Prophet Ayyub, that, oh Allah, anni masani ad-dur. Oh Allah, I have suffered. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And you are the most merciful of all those capable of showing any mercy. And, you know, I saw somebody even mention in the comments that, you know, the Prophet Ayyub was suffering from an illness. He was isolated and by himself for so long. I definitely don't have to point out all the beautiful connections and consistencies that we can observe within the story of Ayyub and how we can find hope within the dua and the story of Ayyub and how he sought the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
SubhanAllah. Shaykh, jazakallah khairan. That was, I mean, so needed. I think, you know, it almost felt like a nourishing meal listening to that, man. SubhanAllah. The two things that I actually wanted to ask you a question in the verse itself, Shaykh. In Surah 8, in Surah Anbiya, and when he says that anni masani ad-dur, the verb massa, to be touched by something, right? To
touch. Yeah. The word mess basically means like to just like that. Just like that.
So it's crazy because when I'm looking at this, because I'm looking at also some of the tafsir, there's tafsir al-muyassar and mukhtasar, there's some, and it's mentioning, like, this is from the adab with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
That even when he's complaining, he doesn't...
He's not saying that I've been destroyed.
Yeah, like, look at what you've done to me 20 years, or he's saying, oh Allah, like, I'm just going through something.
Something.
You know, and Allah ta'ala, you know, huwa al-latif al-khabir, like, he knows exactly what you're going through. In every way. Today we covered that in the recitation tonight. That Allah Ta'ala is latif for his servants. He's so subtly aware of everything that you're going through. And so when I read that, that verb, the presence of that verb in this dua, anni masani ad-durru, that Allah, you know, he doesn't even go into it. He just kind of mentions, Allah, I've been touched with some difficulty, with some trial. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. And it doesn't matter because you're the most merciful. Just like, mashallah, one of our sisters mentioned, he minimized the negative and he maximized the mercy of Allah.
Beautiful.
He minimized the negative, he maximized the mercy. This is, you know, when we think about adab with dua, so powerful. So powerful. Absolutely. Just like when you ask anybody, when you have adab with dua. Again, not saying that you can't be vulnerable and you can't be emotional and you can't talk about how much you're going through. But, you know, whenever you have somebody that you're close to, that you trust, maybe you don't feel like you got to go in. Maybe you can just say, oh Allah, you know what I've been through. You know what I'm going through. I don't have to tell, you know. That's number one, subhanAllah. Number two, Shaykh, what you mentioned you finish up with, and I just wanted to reiterate that, is just we sometimes don't realize the power of sabr in dua. That we think that dua is like its own thing. But dua has its own preface. Dua has its own runway that has to be leading up to it. And whether it's good deeds or charity or tawbah, we learned that tawbah is something that can make dua, you know, more accepted by Allah Ta'ala, giving sadaqah, we know, any good deeds. But here we learned that patience is a really, really powerful way to introduce dua, right? Mm-hmm. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying that patience is something that you deal with in that moment, right? Innama sabra inda sidmat al-ula. That it's when you're going through it. It's easy to be patient when you're healed. You know, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I went through it and now I'm better, but alhamdulillah, I'm patient. But what about when you're going through it? So, and that's something that's just beautiful, Shaykh. I really appreciate you doing this. And I think, you know, what was the emotion I think that we said this was under, Shaykh?
Patience,
yeah. Just patience, you know? And realizing that, Shaykh, and can you tell us so we can conclude, when we make dua, inshallah, like what are the options, you know? Because sometimes you make dua for something, Allah doesn't give it to you right away.
Yeah.
And sometimes he never gives it to you in this life. And that there's a hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ explains to us what the outcome of dua is on the other side. So do you mind, Shaykh, kind of elaborating for
us? Absolutely.
What is that?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Ma min muslimin yad'u bi da'watin illa," that every single time a believer calls out to Allah and makes dua to Allah, that the dua of that believer is definitely answered by Allah. Guaranteed.
Like, I'm smiling because it's just like, man, subhanAllah, like, the hadith answers so many doubts that people have.
So many.
Why isn't Allah answering my dua? The problem is that He is answering your dua.
He is. The Prophet guarantees every single time the believer makes dua, it is definitively answered. But he then says it's answered in one of three ways. If what you're asking for is good for you in this life and in the next, then Allah gives you what you're asking for. If what you're asking for is not good for you here, but it's good for you in the afterlife, then Allah forwards it on your behalf to the afterlife.
Allah Akbar.
And if what you're asking for is not good for you here, no good for it there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, looking out for us, He converts the result of our dua to something that we actually do need and protects us from some great tragedy here and now in the life of this world.
So you could be making dua for a job or a spouse, and you think at that moment that it's what's best for you, but Allah knows your future and He's aware, and He knows that that job might take you away from Him, or that job might take you away from your family, or that marriage might not succeed, or it might be difficult, or it might lead you to some sort of irreparable pain. And instead of putting you through that just because you're asking for it, Allah Ta'ala gives you something and you weren't even aware that He's going to give you this.
Yeah, so yeah. I always give the example that, you know, someone's asking a dua for, you know, health and shifa. And that's good for you here and good for you there. So Allah gives it to you now. Someone's asking that they want to buy this big fancy house. That's a bit outside of their means. And that's not good for them here because they're going to put themselves into debt and then live this stressful existence of how do I constantly pay for this. But it's good for you there. So Allah forwards your dua and your house that you wanted in this dunya will be replaced with a palace in paradise. And Al-Hasan al-Basri said that on the day of judgment, when that person, that believer goes to paradise and they see the things that they got that were their duas forwarded to the afterlife, that person will say, I wish all of my duas were forwarded to the afterlife.
I wish I never got anything I asked for.
Nothing. It was all forwarded. And then the third example I give, and I give this example because these are personal examples. Let's say you want some kind of a fancy car, all right? You want a, I don't know, random example. You want a Corvette. And so
totally random.
Totally random. Just came out of nowhere into my head. Just boom, Corvette. So you want a Corvette. And it's not good for you here nor there. So what Allah will do, I'm a father. I have children. So Allah will say, listen, simple fella. You over here asking for a Corvette, but you got kids, you got babies. So Allah will convert my dua into the safety of my children. And Allah will protect my children while I, the dummy, am sitting here saying, oh Allah, give me a Corvette, give me a Corvette. And Allah will protect my children instead.
And you didn't, and we weren't even aware of it.
Nothing.
You know, you always wonder, subhanAllah, Allah sends you things that are good for you and you're not even aware of it. You don't know why. And you think to yourself, like, man, why did, you know, why did I get this job offer? Why did I get this? This person in my life, why did this happen? Yes, minivan, exactly, tacos and tea. I like to hear that, mashallah. Notice how he didn't bring that up, by the way. Notice how he went in a completely different direction.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un.
No, so, and you wonder, like, why did Allah Ta'ala give me this, you know, this random thing that I wasn't expecting? Maybe it was a dua that you were begging for and you were so heartbroken about it, but Allah Ta'ala didn't want to put you in further misery. SubhanAllah. Jazakumullah khairan, Shaykh, as always. And I hope and pray that everybody, again, was able to find some inspiration tonight. You know, this is the night that, you know, the odd nights. This is the 25th night that we're hoping, inshallah, again, we're hoping that every night that we go over, whether it's a dua of regret, a dua of trust, a dua of patience, a dua of acceptance, whatever we're talking about, see if you can, inshallah, work these elements into your duas. So far we've gone over regret. We've gone over acceptance. We've gone over
trusting
Allah. And this one is patience. So see, inshallah, if you can work these elements into your dua tonight, inshallah, and see if you can start to feel some of those beautiful moments that we are talking about here from the Quran. Barakallahu feekum, Shaykh. Thank you, everybody. I don't want to take more of your time on this blessed night. Make dua for us. Make dua for my family. Make dua for Shaykh's family. And make dua for Shaykh's Corvette, if not in this life. Then in Jannah, inshallah. And
inshallah.
And a reminder to everybody who's on here, if you haven't already, we'd really like to have you help us reach our goal, supportqalam.com. If you could donate, it would mean the world to us, inshallah, to help keep our programmings going, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, everybody.
And for the folks on YouTube and Facebook who might be logging on looking for the Quran marathon that we got going on, inshallah, as soon as we log off, it will start right up in just a couple of minutes, inshallah.
And why do you assume that the Instagram people don't want to do the Quran marathon either, Sheikh?
No, it's not streamed on Instagram. That's why they can go over to YouTube.
So everyone who's on Instagram, if you want to listen to some Quran, you want to catch up on some ajza, I think they're finishing tonight, or no, they didn't catch up last night.
No, it's going to take one extra night.
Okay, inshallah. Yeah, so we're going to do, this is the third of four parts, inshallah. So if you want to, if you're awake, just have it playing. Just have it playing. Put it on your phone, just have it playing, inshallah, while you clean, while you read, while you sit, even while you're sleeping. وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ, right? Mm-hmm. That, you know, if Allah Ta'ala says, those who remember Allah, laying, you know, sitting, standing, laying down on their sides, in every position, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So put some Quran on and listen, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. See you, inshallah, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.